Hey, everybody. Oh, I realized that I heard the intro again and it scared the crap out of me because apparently I had YouTube open. So apparently I can't see the comments. Oh, no, we're good. I just had to pause the video. We are back with the pickup line and always prepared as usual, ready to go. I'm Hannah Vaughn. Welcome back. Happy Thursday.
And I'm Thomas Westbrook.
And this is my lovely person, Thomas Westbrook. Hello. Good to see you, man. How you been?
Oh, it's always good to see you.
We don't live together. But yeah, Ethan's taking some much deserved time off from the pickup line. So I figured I would bring my man on to embarrass him a little bit. We're going to be talking. Yeah.
Tell me that part.
We're going to be talking about love languages. Love languages, if you're not familiar with that, it's basically how you give and receive love. Like, what resonates with you? How do you feel the most love? What do you do for people when you love them? How do you express it? And it looks a little bit different for everyone based on a lot of things. It can be based on your upbringing or things that have happened to you where you're like, oh, that works for me. Genetics. Or how you were raised. Genetics. I didn't know that, really.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Are our love languages the same?
No,
they're like, no. They could not be more different. And I think that's probably like the one hurdle that like haunts us to this day. Like, I would say like we're doing really well compared to a lot of people.
Well, yes, but we have a lot of ways to go too. And I think that this is a hurdle that a lot of people struggle with. And I think almost every relationship struggles with, unless like you miraculously end up with someone who's exactly, and it's not just that you have the same love language, you have varying degrees of different love languages that, you know, resonate with you and don't.
Yeah. Cause I also think that there's maybe a misconception. There's a test you can take online that's like, what is your love language? And if you get one of them, I wonder if there's some people who go like, that's the only way I accept and receive love. And I'm sure it's like everything we're learning these days, it's a spectrum.
And just for clarification to the audience, if they're like, what the heck is a love language? It's basically a way that you communicate that you care about someone, or that when they like, so that would be like your way of expressing love. And then there's also a language that like you understand, which is like when someone does that to you, you feel loved and you feel appreciated.
Right. And I've talked to, in my expertise, I've talked to a lot of couples. I'm not an expert. I've talked to a lot of couples where they've expressed or just told me stories of like, they did this thing for me and I totally missed that was them showing me that they cared, because in my world, this is how I recognize that I'm being cared for. And they did all these things for me, but I completely missed it.
And well, and sometimes you don't miss it. Sometimes you can tell that they love you and yet you can still be a terrible match for each other.
No, that's so true.
Yeah,
love isn't enough sometimes. That's what I learned.
Yeah, no, one of my like very close friends, he was in a relationship where like they really both cared about each other, but like no matter how they tried, like neither one of them ever felt loved, and they couldn't seem to communicate, even though they knew that the other person was trying. It just didn't resonate at all, and eventually they didn't work out.
So I think maybe the way to overcome that is really, you know, you can take a test, but I mean, in my life, the best way for me to actually learn something is figuring it out myself when it actually finally sticks within in a way that I can relate to. You know, when you're with someone and you feel loved, kind of recognize, okay, like, what are we doing right now? Like, what's causing me to feel so love insecure right now? Like, if you're not sure how to communicate your love language, if you are kind of having that mismatch, like we have, we've been trying to figure out, like, why are we like at each other's throats? I mean, we don't really fight, but.
Well, I think it's, you know, when someone's trying to express love and it's not your love language, it's helpful to take a step back yourself and kind of stop and like realize like, oh my God, this person's actually trying to express love. Even if I don't feel, you know, loved, even if I don't feel like this, it's really scratching this itch that I need. At the very least, you can appreciate the effort and be like, oh, they're trying to, you know,
right.
Which sounds really sad to be like, oh, at least you're trying.
Well, no, but it is important to like notice like where people are trying, and to like, for example, it could be the little things like you fill up my water bottle when you notice it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, those are the little ways that I definitely think that your way of expressing love is
acts of service.
Acts of service. Thank you. I had to look at the list. I'm like, what's it called? For those who aren't familiar, there's words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and receiving gifts. And not necessarily like they bought you stuff. Mm. Like they gave you a physical token of their appreciation and or did something.
Yeah. Do you want to like one by one, like break them down as to what they are?
If you want to.
So the words of affirmation, and here's the thing, I don't think that these are necessarily the only ways to express love, mm-mm, but a lot of stuff can fall into one of these categories, right, or multiple categories. So, you know, you could do an act of service, or you could spend quality time by like making a gift for someone with them, like creating something. And it's like, does that gift giving or is that quality time? You know, what is it? But if it, you know, for the most part, things tend to fall in one of these categories. The first one, words of affirmation, is just like, you know, compliments, but not flattery. So saying something kind, building someone up, like, hey, you did really good. Like, I really appreciated the thing that you did, you know, gratitude, compliments, you know, telling them that they look good, but like sincerely meaning it.
I love you. You're so cute. Sorry, we'll try not to gush too much.
But not just like, you know, talking about their looks or something like that, but like also just being kind. Like Drew, genetically modified skeptic, is actually really good at this, where I'm terrible at words of affirmation. I'll just be like, yeah, it was all right. And he'll be like, oh, so-and-so is really good at this. And so-and-so is, you know, does an excellent job. And you know, who's really kind and thoughtful in this way. And he's just constantly building people up. And
I love him.
And it's kind of taught me that like, I need to be better at doing that because I suck at it. And if I want to speak, you know, a love language to other people who actually take and receive that love language, then I need to get better at giving that.
Yeah. No, he'll like look at you and be like, you know what I really appreciate about you? Or he'll like say something that you just feel so seen by. I always feel so seen when I'm with you.
You know what I just realized is that by doing that, I literally just did the thing that I said that he does.
There you go. We love you, Drew. We're showing a love language. Yeah. Quality time, my favorite.
Are we doing that right now?
Yes, we have been doing a lot of it.
Is this quality time?
We've been doing a lot of it since Faithless Forum because you worked your butt off. Do you want to talk about Faithless Forum now? Take a little side note.
Well, let's get through the
list. We'll get to the note, and then I really want to tell you guys about Faithless Forum. So quality time, spending time together, doing an activity together, going out and seeing shit together. I mean, I think that one's kind of self-explanatory.
Dates,
like really setting a time aside to like connect on something and give your full like undivided attention to someone. Then there's physical touch.
Well, yeah, and like physical touch and quality time can overlap a lot, because like if you're like, hey, I'm gonna give you a massage, is that quality time that you're spending with the person? Or it's like if you're like talking and just having a conversation and really connecting with someone one-on-one, but you're like rubbing their feet, then you know that's it's both physical touch and quality time, but it's like you're speaking two languages at once. It's just like bilingual love language.
Yeah. Acts of service. So I gave an example of that earlier. Thomas will like notice that normally I whine about it first. And but there are lots of times where you do it completely unprompted. Like you'll just come over and like,
you notice?
Of course I do. Yeah. He'll like lift up my water bottle and be like, oh, and go fill it. And I'm like, oh. I feel very loved by that.
Myth Vision Podcast says that he's just jealous that I can ride a bull better than him. I don't know what he's talking about. So we went to a bar at Faithless Forum and hopped on a bull, and like a mechanical bull.
There wasn't a bull at Faithless Forum. This is actually, we went bar hopping after one of the nights. On 6th Street in Austin, Texas. And if you know about the Dirty Sixth, you're a real one. Amit came along. We got to meet Amit.
Yeah. Well, but Derek was totally kicking all of our butts on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Reverse Jesus.
Amit Matthew, thank you for the $5 super chat. Thomas is a reverse Jesus. He turns wine into water. That sounds way less fun. But yeah, physical touch. Did we already talk about that?
Yeah, we talked about
touching, smooching.
Physical touch and then acts of service. Oh, sex also falls under physical touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Does that count as quality time too?
And if you give someone, like if you buy them a lap dance, are you giving a gift or is it physical touch?
What did Amit say? He said affirmationception. all of these are kind of like an inception of each other. Yeah, so acts of service. When you do the dishes. Oh my gosh, I have to gush about you for a second. I hate cleaning the cat litter box. I should do it more often. I don't do it as often as I should. I'm used to cats who shit outside, but Simba does have a cat box and I hate doing it. And the other day you ran to the store, got fresh litter and just like took the box out, hosed it out, replaced it, like without me asking, because like it's normally my job and I,
well, it's her cat. And so
it's my cat. So like, I don't expect him to ever do that. And I felt really bad. Sometimes acts of service makes me uncomfortable. Cause I think like, oh, you got sick of like me not doing it. So you just like took care of it. And like, I've had people in my life who would do acts of service, but not as a love language, as like a passive aggressive thing. They're like, I did this for you. Like, cause you, well, you know,
that's kind of the key thing is like, you know, I, to be honest, the other day, like I was kind of annoyed that like you hadn't cleaned out the cat box in a while and it was kind of smelly, but it's like, there's one of two ways that you can go about something like that. Like I could have kind of passive aggressively, angrily, like gotten it and like made a fuss and been like, oh, and like been sighing and then like, you know, be like, you owe me now or something. But it's like, that's so not conducive to a healthy relationship. And it's like, I genuinely love Hannah and like I want to show and express that. And so it's like, I might be frustrated that like she hasn't done, you know, that, but by doing it in a way that's just like, hey, I just like, I know that you're under a lot of stress, you're under a lot of pressure, you're not feeling good, whatever the reason. And like, this is no strings attached. I'm not expecting anything in return. I just want to show you that I love you. Like that goes so much further. And like that night we had a date night and it was like, rather than us kind of like bickering and being at each other's throats because of, you know, some passive aggressive action, instead, because it was genuinely showing a love language, it's doing an act of service as love, not as passive aggression.
That was a really good day.
Like we really connected over dinner and that was really nice.
Yeah. You definitely put me in a really good mood. I actually cried cause I was so happy. Well, like I felt like crap at first. Cause I was just like, are you mad at me? Cause I didn't do it. And so you just did it. And you're like, no, I did it because I love you. And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't deserve you. And then we had a really good date and we had the best, like, what was it? It was a food. Japanese food, but it was like fondue kind of. I don't know what it's called, but it was the best. If you live in Austin, go to Dip Dip Dip. It's expensive. But if you want to splurge and have like the best meal of your life.
We wanted to have like a holiday dinner.
Yeah. Like an early. You really needed like to just be spoiled.
Well, especially like, after Faithless Forum, like my stress levels were kind of high and we hadn't been on a date in a long time. So
not in a long time. Receiving gifts. I have a hard time understanding this one because I guess maybe I don't know how to explain it other than like, because I know it's more than like, oh, you bought something for someone. I guess it could be handmade or like just a token of appreciation. Like here's like, I even like went out into the garden and here's a flower from our own garden. I've had someone do that and it actually made me feel good.
I can kind of speak to that one.
Okay.
Because that is largely one of my love languages. And like when someone buys me something and, you know, gifts it to me is like, hey, I saw this and I was thinking of you. There's one of two things. One, it's either something that I've really wanted for a while. And when they give it to me, I'm like, yes, I'm so excited. I've wanted that thing. And then this person gave it to me. And like, I feel like they were paying attention. They noticed, they listened to that, you know, either some, you know, hint that I dropped or something that I said that wasn't a hint, but they just picked up on it. Or they know me really, really well. And so they know the kinds of things that I like. And so when they saw it, they went out of their way and got it for me. Like that makes me feel really close to someone. It makes me feel like that person has been listening. They've been thinking about me. They care about me and they went out and got something. Now you can have gifts that are shallow and that's just kind of like, but I bought you chocolate and flowers. So hey, like
chocolate and flowers are a good gift depending on the person.
Well,
I ain't mad at that.
No, let me finish the sentence.
But I just
like if someone shows up to a date and they're like, I got you chocolate and flowers, so like you got to come to bed with me. And it's like, then it's not really a, hey, I saw this and I thought of you and it's this like legit thing. It's more just kind of like, I did the obligatory thing so that there'd be this like tit for tat reciprocity. And now you're under some obligation because you owe me. It's like, that's not,
yeah, no,
that's not a love language.
That's a transaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no. I have a hard time with receiving gifts. I don't know what it is, but I always feel awkward. Like, I would rather give them. I like, my favorite thing about Christmas is, like, that sounds like really, like, my favorite thing about Christmas is giving gifts because I'm such a selfless person. But I get, like, really freaking excited to, like I got this for you. And, like, the excitement of, like, wanting to tell them and then them being happy. So I guess maybe that's a love language of mine. It's something I enjoy to do. But for some reason, receiving gifts, I don't know what it is. I feel like no matter – this is, like, really bad, like – because I've never, like, said this out loud. And anyone who gets me a gift is going to, like, fucking call me out for it now. And I've done this since I was a little girl. It instantly feels performative where I'm like, I need to be excited by this thing that you got me. Wow, I wanted this so bad. And I've done that since I was a little girl. I've opened gifts.
Like, oh, wow, what is it?
Yeah, no, so my mom always tells this story where she was laughing at me because I was, like, 5 years old opening gifts and going, oh, I've always wanted one of these. And she's laughing, going, she has no idea what that is. And I don't know where I learned to do that. I just, like, I feel so much pressure to be like, I appreciate it. Well, like, I think you spent your money on this. And I just, like, I'd rather you, like, paint me a picture.
See, I think where we differ is that I was the kid that was always so excited and eager when Christmas was coming. And so I would make a list and I'd be like, these are all of the cool toys that I, and, like, my parents weren't very wealthy. And, like,
right,
you know, I did have a very, very small allowance of a few dollars as a kid, just so that I kind of learn how to, like, use money. But it would take me, like, a year and all my birthday and Christmas money to, like, buy a video game or something. Right. And I'd go, like, on eBay and, like, find the discounted used price or something. And so, like, because of that, I would, Christmas and my birthday would roll around. And, like, my aunt, especially my Aunt Debbie, she was always, like, a big gift giver. She'd be like, what do you guys want? And so, like, I would just come up with this list of stuff. And so, like, sure, I would also get the socks and the underwear that my mom would get me. And I was like, okay, like, that's just going to come with the turf of, you know, Christmas. But when I would have, like, I'd open up a gift, I always knew that, like, when I opened up one from, like, Debbie or, like, certain people, it'd be like, this is going to be a good one. And it's like, you're not going to have the same level of excitement for every gift.
Right.
But when it's Christmas time and I see packages under the tree, it kind of brings back that childhood nostalgia. And maybe I was just, like, a really selfish kid who was just like, give me, give me, give me. But, like, I love also, like, watching people's expression in their faces. Yeah, like, when I've taken time to, like, shop and, like, come up with something, and then I'm like, hey, here's this gift. And they open it and they're just like, oh my God. Like, when you can tell that they're, like, really touched and that they feel seen and, like, you were listening and you got them something that they want, then it's always a really nice feeling.
But now you're going to have all this doubt because you know that I'm being a faker. No, like,
You've shattered our security.
I always appreciate when someone gets me anything. I mean, my mom sounds, like, really weird, but she would teach me that, like, you never, like, even if someone, like, cooks for you, like, that's a gift. So, like, if someone goes out of their way to give you anything, it's should be really appreciated because you don't, basically she taught me, she was like, you don't deserve shit. You're not entitled to shit, basically. And I'm just like, oh, okay. I was a privileged child though. Yeah. Like, I really was, but she taught me kind of like, you're not entitled to anything. So I always feel kind of awkward. Like, I always hope that people will find my Amazon wish list so I don't have to ask for it. Like, I just hope they, like, come across it. That's not a hint because now I feel awkward about it. Honestly, I don't know.
I don't even know where you post it.
I don't know how to find it. It's just public.
It's just public.
On where? Amazon somewhere.
On Amazon. But, like, you can't find it without the link.
That's right. And
it's
so,
not like it's indexed.
But here's the thing. It's so loaded to, like, share it with someone because you're like, get me this. And I feel so uncomfortable doing that. So it's I'd rather ask
everyone else, be like, hey, do you have an Amazon wish list? And then when they send it to you, you know, be like, oh, hey, thanks. Awesome. Yeah, I always go with that. Like, and then if they ask for yours too, then it's like, great.
Okay, so you would hope they ask for yours, not, oh, and by the way, here's mine.
I mean, it depends on how you
feel
about
it. I don't know, I just feel so awkward about it. I mean, I love getting gifts. I really do. Like, it's just, there's this level of, like, I don't deserve this.
One thing that's hard for me is, like, with partners is they'll put up their wish list of things that they want. And I take a look at it and I'm excited about the things that I think that they would want, but not necessarily the things that they do want. So if, like in the past, I've had partners put things on their wish list that's like this makeup kit from whatever. And I'll look at that and,
just and you're like, I don't want that.
I'm like, I don't understand how they could possibly be excited by that. So like, I don't really want to buy that for them. But if they have something on their list that's like, you know, some, you know, cool gadget or something or electronic thing, then I'm like,
you get gifts that you want. Yeah,
that makes sense that someone would actually like that, which is like a really messed up kind of like way of, you know, because obviously people have different likes and stuff, but it, you know.
I like it when people are like, I got you like entrance to this or tickets to this, like to go, let's go, like let's go do this. Yeah. That makes me freak out. Like, except I want a VR headset. Anyway, we both want one. Anyway.
We both want one. The problem is that the Valve Index is $1,000 and I've been watching it for a year and a half and it hasn't gone on sale once.
I know. Yeah. So we've talked about like, as soon as it goes on sale, that's our Christmas present to each other. We're just going to go halvesies on it pretty much. Yeah. I don't know. Gifts is weird for me. I love giving gifts, but receiving gifts, like, it's not necessarily how I feel like loved. Like, I feel like it's thoughtful, but I think gifts have always just felt like an obligation in a way. Like, there's so much hype around it. So it's like, I almost want to be like, just don't give me anything. Even though I want stuff. Oh, I really do. But like, my it doesn't feel like love. It feels like, thanks.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Every Christmas, my mom, you know, she was super Jesus-y and, you know, missionary.
Was.
Still is. But every Christmas, she would try to like ruin Christmas like the Grinch by basically saying like, this year, let's just make it about Jesus. Like, I guess we can put up decorations because we have like nativity scenes and stuff, but like, you know, let's just like sit around and like read the Christmas story in the Bible and like not do gifts this year. And every single year, like all four of us kids would be like, Mom, are you out of your mind? And so like, we always talked her out of it. And I think like my dad may have like helped a little bit because he's kind of like, well, you know, honey, the kids like, they like having gifts and stuff. And it's
everyone likes getting shit.
It's not just about getting, it's about like, you know, giving generously to others and stuff. And my mom was like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. I mean, if someone like notices that I'm really like into something, I'm trying to think of like an example. Okay, I have an example where this is probably the most loved I've ever felt. And I'm sorry, it's not you. No, it's my brother, actually. I was going through a breakup. That the relationship lasted 4 years and I was going through a very like sad breakup. Like the breakup was kind of mutual, but like it was a loss. I was grieving. Luckily that person is still in my life. We're good friends, but it sucked. That transition sucked. Anyway, he bought me a Nintendo Switch and Breath of the Wild because
my brother did.
Yeah. He went to my parents and said, hey, will you help me buy this for Hannah? And I fucking lost my shit because like that was him saying like, because what he said to me was, he goes, I know sometimes when I'm going through a hard time, all I want to do is escape. Mm. Oh, I'm going to cry. I just love my brother more than anything in this world. Like he gets me. And like he was saying basically, I'm going to cry. What the fuck? Anyway, I recognize you're going through a hard time and this is something that he and I bonded over, like Nintendo and Zelda, since we were babies. And I was really excited about Breath of the Wild. I never asked for a Switch, but like I was like, that's so cool that it's coming out. And he fucking got it for me. And he didn't even like have a Switch yet himself. Mm. He had never even played it. Like he could have gotten himself a Switch. He eventually did. I let him play it like a lot, but
yeah.
I could go on and on about my brother, but he gets me. He's my best friend in the whole world. Anyway, that made me feel very loved. So moving on to
we could spend the whole episode just talking about the gifts.
I know, but we've been talking about gifts for like 20 minutes probably. Yeah. Not that long, but so those are all like the like love languages in like a nutshell, I suppose. I think that there's a lot of overlap, and it's funny being in a relationship with someone who doesn't, how we've been figuring out each other's love languages and recognizing that like
it's okay to be different.
It's okay to be different, but it is a struggle. Like it really is.
And it takes work.
It does, as every relationship does. Like if anyone tells you like relationships should just be perfect, like I'm sorry, like everyone's got baggage, everyone's got a past, everyone's got wants that are not necessarily going to line up with yours and their sacrifice. Mm. And there's like so much communication that goes into it. And I always, we were just talking today about like the reason we've had certain problems is because lack of communication. I'm like, but we're so good at communicating. And what did I say that was genius? I said, we're very good at communicating, but we are dealing with a very complicated issue that both of us, neither of us understand yet. Mm. And we are trying to communicate through it. And that's what's making it so uncomfortable.
Yeah. One other thing that I've kind of noticed is both of us are really good communicators when it comes to like emotions and feelings, but we're both very terrible listeners.
Oh my gosh. You were calling, we're doing it now. And everyone who watches this show who like knows me personally, they're like, yeah, I love the pickup line, but you interrupt Ethan a lot. I'm like, he interrupts me too. And so you were telling me today when we were kind of having a spat. It wasn't a spat. We were having like an intense conversation.
We were having a hard conversation in a loving and respectful way.
It was a hard conversation to have. We were just like evaluating our relationship and like disagreements and stuff. Mm. And you were like, and you know what? You interrupt me. You're not doing a good job listening. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, hey, you just interrupted me. I just wanted to, like, well, I'm not mad, but I just want to point that out that like you literally just interrupted me.
What it was I was saying a sentence where the second half of the sentence completely changes like the meaning and focus of like what my point was. And I got halfway through the sentence and she cut me off assuming what I was going to say from the first half. No. And I was just like, yeah, this, like, you got to hear the rest of it for it to, like, make sense, because that's not what I'm saying at all.
Well, then get to the point in the first place. God! He likes to, like, build it up with, like, all this back, like, so he'll, like, go through, like, a list, and I'm like, just get to the meat of it. Mm. Secular Rarity, thank you for the $5 super chat. Always love hearing from you. Wave emoji. You two seem very comfortable together every time you've been on. What would you say you attribute that to? Oh, wow. That's a really good question. Why are we so comfortable? Well, I mean, almost 3 years of dating has something to do with it, but I've
nightly boxing spats.
We don't do that. We really don't. God, I don't know. I think, you know what it probably is we are like really, really blunt with each other.
Mm.
Not like we just like say whatever, like we are gentle with each other's feelings, but like, we know so much about each other, like even like our deepest, darkest, weird shit.
Sensitive, but brutally honest, and also not judgmental. Like, I think those are incredibly key in a relationship, because like, if you're not honest, yeah, you're building on a really crappy foundation and it's not going to last. But if you're, you know, if you're brutally honest and the other person is super judgmental, then it's going to shut you down. You're not going to want to open up and you're not going to want to be able to share. And so the like early on there were things that like were, you know, in any relationship, you know, you start asking questions and stuff, and like there's difficult conversations to be had and there's awkward conversations mm-hmm. to be had, and there's conversations about, you know, exes and past relationships and sexual history and like all kinds of complications that like if you can't be open about that stuff, even the things that are like and embarrassing
and like really things like you're ashamed of that you've yeah. done, like, you know about, like,
Yeah,
you know about my shit, and like,
same.
I publicized it to the freaking internet recently, but I do it all the time on this show. But like, I think, I don't know. I think, and we went into this relationship like really trying. We really made a point to like be very raw with each other, like despite how uncomfortable it was going to be. Like, I remember very early on in the relationship, you were like, I don't want to keep anything from you. I want to be able to tell you anything that's on my mind without you thinking I'm like a monster.
But I also like, here's the thing. I feel very uncomfortable answering this question because it makes me act like I have it all figured out. And I
no, don't. We don't. No, and we I super don't.
And so like, But I think that rather than seeing that as a weakness, like that can potentially be a huge strength, where you're like, hey, I don't have this figured out. So I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to grow. And, you know, whether or not you or your partner have things that you're embarrassed or ashamed of or something in your past, understanding that like you're both people, you both make mistakes, you both grow, and that there's a lot of growing to be done. And you're with someone who's willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
Like if you're both willing to work hard to grow and improve and be a better person, your odds of success are going to be a lot higher than, you know, someone who's not.
I do want to add on to that is that like even though like we say like, oh, we're going to be honest with each other and no judgment, that doesn't mean like you get a pass from criticism, because I think we've
You rip me a new one
all the time. Like, you'll tell me something, I'll be like, that was fucked up. But like, yeah, I don't say like,
I did it today where you're just like, oh yeah, this, and like, you just tore something apart. And I like, well, it was brutal, but it was true.
Like, because like, I think it's always coming from a place of love, is that like, I'll be like, I recognize what you're saying, but like, do you recognize that that's really like, there, that's not like, I don't like to say problematic, but because I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, you have work to do. Like, and on that same note, like, that's really weird. I don't hate you, I don't think of you differently, but like, you could definitely work on that. And like, same for me, like, you call me out all the time.
But I think that there's a way to, you know, and kind of pulling this back into the love language is like, one, whether it's, I don't know what this would fall under. And this is where, you know, when I said that, like, I don't think that these are the only love languages, is I think that one way of showing love is growth, like personal growth. And, you know,
putting in the work
and asking, like, you know, what type of partner do I want to be? What type of person do I want to be for my partner? And understanding that, like, you have to be selfless and not just grow to be who, like, there is a side of it where, yeah, you should have inspiration to be a better person that you want to be, but also, like, what does my partner deserve? What do they want? And how can I both fit their needs and also satisfy my own ambitions at the same time?
Oh, yeah, like, what are you willing to give? I mean, I don't think people should, like, settle or go against their values to please another person, but if you really love a person and you think you're a good match, like, getting complacent can be kind of tricky.
Yeah. Zap asks if we've been together for 3 years. We're going on our third year anniversary
here. Coming, yeah, we up have in not a couple months. We've been together. We'll be together three years in March, but we've lived together for
two. We were long distance for a year.
Yeah. And then almost like 2 years.
But the weird thing is that, like, you know, I understand that, you know, most relationships have, just because your brains are chemically wired to, like, when something's new and novel, you put your best face forward, you're a lot more forgiving, and it takes about 6 months before you're kind of through that honeymoon phase.
We're not out of it.
And I think to some extent we are, like, chemically speaking, like, our brains have adapted, and, like, you know, it's not like we hold our farts in around each other or something like that.
No, we don't. We absolutely do not.
But when it comes to, like, that, some relationships after, like, the first few months, they're just like, oh my God, like, it's just gone downhill fast. Like, I still think, like, there's, like, it's not just about, like, hey, do I still get goosebumps? Which, you know, yeah, sometimes we do. But it's also about, like, does this still feel good? Does this still feel like we're doing something right? We really care about each other. We're not, like, constantly bickering and fighting and seeing it, like, not last long term, but, like, have the stability and the security and comfort around each other to be like, yeah, I genuinely appreciate this person and see it lasting.
I think so. I want to make a note on what you just said really quick, and then I want to get us back on topic. That's, like, the best thing about this show, is that, like, we'll be like, this is our topic, talk about it for 5 minutes, talk about something completely different for like 45 minutes, and then tie it in. But remind me what you just were saying. Oh, honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest difference is that I don't, like, romanticize our relationship anymore and think, like, it could be like this, and he's probably like that, and, like, I don't know. I'm very, very grounded in reality with our relationship. Like, I know what I got. I know what your farts smell like. Like, I've seen you throw up. Like, like, I feel just, like, very, like, chill and secure. I don't get like nervous. Like, what are we going to talk about? Oh my God, I want to impress this person. Blah, blah, blah. But definitely, like, the goosebumps are still there.
Yeah. And that's where, like, oh God, you should do an entire episode on, like, how toxic romanticism can be.
Oh, trust me, I know, because I have a really weird thing where I get, like, very fixated on people for, like,
But there's this notion that, like, oh, you're gonna see the one and it's gonna be so romantic and your heart will just, like, skip a beat.
Your life has changed now.
They're the person who was specifically designed perfectly for you, and there's only one of them in the whole world. and you're never going to look at anyone else or have feelings for anyone else from that point on. And they're just going to be perfect, and you're going to live happily ever after with your Prince Charming, and they're just going to like make the whole world just like open up for you. And it's like, that's not how the world works. And if that's what we're raising people to think how relationships are, you're setting them up for a lot of disappointment and a lot of heartache and a lot of like potential relationship pitfalls. Because when push comes to shove, you're going to see someone who, you know, has down days, who experiences stress. You're going to see them, you know, when they're frustrated, when they have a bad hair day, when they're throwing up sick. You know, you're going to have your doubts and your second
when
thoughts.
They say shit that like really appalls you and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Cause like everyone's different. I mean, like you're gonna disagree on shit.
But like my ex-wife basically told me that like once you propose, like you better not have any second thoughts. And it's like, I'm sorry, but like life doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
There's in fact almost every single marriage, even ones that last for life, I guarantee you that there are points in their marriage where they're just like beating their head against the wall and having second thoughts. Like, and then you work through it as a couple and you grow and improve. Or if it's toxic and it's abusive, like my last relationship was, then you have to pull the plug.
Well, yeah. You think, okay, are both parties willing to grow from this together?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just gonna turn into a combative fuck fest? That sounds like a good thing. It's just dumpster fire. Thank you. Shit. I want to get back on topic, but you said something that was like really. Damn it.
Well, while you're fishing for that thought, even sometimes when both parties are willing to do the work, sometimes that's still not enough. Sometimes the person can say, "I really want to change," but they can't, or they're not changing fast enough. And if it's genuinely like hurting you and causing harm and mental, you know, damage to your mental health,
yeah,
then, you know, sometimes, you know, you may need to revisit it later. You may need to have a breakup and say like, look, if you're able to figure this out, you know, come talk to me in a year, but like right now it ain't working.
Yeah, no, but that's important. So the love languages, we have different ones.
We have very different ones.
What are the ones that, what's the top two for you?
Top two, not so much words of affirmation, although that's nice. Quality time's all right. Physical touch is huge for me. Acts of service are okay, but like gift giving, like receiving and giving gifts, it like speaks to me. So I'd say touch and gifts. What about you?
You like to touch gifts?
I like to rip gifts apart. I like to rip their wrapping paper off.
Wait, so you, I know that you like gift giving, but you like to receive gifts?
Oh yeah, it's huge.
I don't know what to get you because you're like, I want this speaker that has these kind of,
well, so here's the
that's
thing.
Compatible most, with, I want software. And I'm like, most, I don't know.
Most of the things that I like are very specific tech things. And a lot of it is work related because I'm obsessed with my work. And so if there's a tech thing that I need, I put it on like my Amazon wish list.
So I think that's you speaking as a brat, not as a person who wants like, to. No, let me finish. I'm interrupting you. So this is important. Do you want gifts because it will make you feel loved and secure and happy and seen? Or do you want them because you like to get shit because it's convenient?
Why is this that's a black and white fallacy? Like it's not either or, it can be both or other things too. Like it could be that like I just fucking love technology and it like it excites me and I open it up and I'm like, oh, this is so cool, I can't wait to play with this gadget.
But you can't wait you can't wait to play with it. But are you like, wow, that's so thoughtful, you noticed?
Yeah, so I'll
even
give
if
you,
like you tell someone like I want this and they get it for you, that feels like a cop out.
Why is it a cop-out?
I don't know.
So I'll tell you that the
best... It needs to be a surprise.
No, the best gift that I ever got...
Okay.
It was a surprise, but it's not the fact that it was a surprise that made it the best gift. And it was when I was a kid, I really, really, really loved playing video games.
Okay.
And my parents... Guess what they never, ever, ever got me for Christmas and birthdays?
Oh, I know this story. Okay.
They never got me video games. I just came to not expect it from them. They would, you know, get me clothes. They would get me practical things. Sometimes they get me, you know, school stuff, you know, a backpack or something like that. And it's like,
yay,
okay,
I can use cool. this. I can put shit in it.
But like, I would never get, and I didn't usually get super expensive stuff unless it was like, oh, hey, you need a jacket. So like, we got you a winter coat. But mm-hmm. like, I didn't necessarily know how much that stuff was worth. Now, there was a new Mario Kart game that had just come out. And it was like $50 to get new, and you couldn't really find it used. And so I was like, you know, I'll wait a couple of months, and I'll wait until the price comes down, and I'll save up some money and maybe get it. And my parents had heard me talking about it. And that year, they bought me a brand new Mario Kart game. And it was like $50. And that blew my mind, because like, opening this gift that said from mom and dad, I was like, aww. Oh, hey, it's going to be underwear. Woo. And like, I open up the gift, and it's like, they always wanted me to get off the computer. They put like time limits on like, you know, how much video game time I had.
But they really
they wanted
like
me to go outside.
Invested in something that they knew you would like.
It wasn't something that they wanted me to do. It was something that they knew that I wanted to do.
That's sweet.
And the fact that they got that for me, that they spent the money, which was a lot of money to me, that they surprised me with it, that it was just like this thing. Like, I opened it up and I was practically jumping up and down as a kid, like excited and screaming. And so, yeah, it was a surprise, but it was like, it was very thoughtful. It was like, it was a big deal for me. It was unexpected.
You felt special.
And I felt special. I felt like my mom and my dad, like, that they had listened that year. And like, it was so yeah, gift giving is, and receiving it is huge. And like, that was something that like I had said and I had mentioned and they had heard. But even if it's something like on a wish list, you don't necessarily know what people are going to get from the wish list. But the fact that someone went out and they're like, hey, I know that they really want this thing. They've talked about it. It's on their wish list. But, you know, it's maybe not a huge surprise because it's something that you asked for on the wish list. But are you going to appreciate that more? Or if they're just like, I'll go out and like get you like a Bed Bath & Beyond gift card.
I would love a Bed Bath & Beyond gift card.
Well, now I know what you're getting for Christmas.
No. So basically, no matter what I get, I feel like an undeserving piece of shit. And then, like, literally, you can get me like a fucking booger, and I'd be like, you didn't have to do that. You love me. You thought of me. Like,
you went digging for gold for
oh
me.
Oh my God. Like, it's weird. I don't know. I don't like asking for stuff or like people knowing what I want.
You know, what I'm looking forward to getting?
We need to stop talking about gifts. I know 'tis the season. Sorry, I'm screaming.
What I'm looking forward to getting this year is your mom's pajamas.
And she's not getting your pajamas.
Someone's going to take that and clip that out of context. And it's just going to be like, hey, I'm looking forward to getting your mom's pajamas. But every year, Hannah's
You're
going
to get her pajamas? Mom, I'm sorry.
Hannah's mom sends her and, you know, the kids.
You're a kid now.
I'm one of the kids.
You're one of the kids.
Pajamas for Christmas. And the ones that I have this year, they're super fluffy and cozy. And so I'm like,
there are perks to dating me.
Yeah.
You end up
pajamas.
In pajamas. You get pajamas and you end up in Mexico. So it does. it's what happens. Anyway. I really do want to touch on like how
the mismatch.
No more gift giving.
Okay.
We're done. I know it's December. I know you're excited
physical
about what you're not going to get for
too.
Christmas. Physical touch with this boy. I swear to
back.
Oh, did you see how like you're unplugging my headphones?
I've trained her.
No, literally I was about to, like, I forgot we are on a stream. I was like, okay. I'm taking these out because you fucked everything up.
We're in the same room together.
I know. I like to hear myself, though.
She does.
That's
like
my love language. Myself.
Words of affirmation. I'm pretty great.
No. Okay. Physical touch with him. But so crazy cool announcement. I didn't find out. Like, that's I come to realize that I'm on the. Can I say it? Mm. It's my sexuality. I can say whatever I want. I have come to realize that I'm on the asexual spectrum, which is alarm bells. What the heck? You still have sex? Yes. Some people who are on the asexual spectrum do have sex for many different reasons. Physical touch.
By the way, mom and dad, if you're watching this, I'm not a virgin. Sorry.
No, he is because I'm asexual. No. No. Anyway, I just started to hold your hand. But that, anyway, so like physical touch is fine, but it does not translate to like love always with me. So it's kind of been a confusing journey. And Ethan, if you're listening, I would love to do a whole episode on realizing that I'm on the asexual spectrum, because it's very weird. It's something I'm still figuring out. But yeah, physical touch is not that high up on the tier for me. It's like, yeah, it feels nice. I like to like snuggle sometimes, but I'm kind of the worst snuggler, and I would definitely prioritize other love languages over that.
What would you say are your top two?
Okay, my top two, quality time is my top number one. Which some people define that as like undivided attention. No, it's like I just kind of like want to be like in the same space as you. Like for some reason, like when you're playing video games and I'm just like chilling by you, like I feel super close. And I think that has a lot to do with like my upbringing. Like, ew, I don't want to say this about like my brother. I do love him, but it's not like that. I felt very close to him when like I was like watching him playing video games and just like chilling. And I think that's kind of trans. And he's like the person probably one of the top people I feel closest to. So I think that's kind of translated into like the way I am with relationships is like, I just kind of want to be like near you. And also he's on the spectrum. So it's like, he doesn't necessarily have to.
On the autism, not the asexual
spectrum. No, not on the, yeah, he's on the autism spectrum. So like, he doesn't necessarily have to like bond with me in any like very specific way. It's like, just the fact that like he's like allowing me in his space is like a big deal for me. So I think that's kind of a way that I love people is like, just like, let me like in your world. Like, I want to see what, I want to watch what you're doing. And that's always made me feel like really close to people. And I don't know if that's my way of loving someone or receiving love. It's just something. But I also love like doing like the same activity together, like whether or not we're, you know, gazing into each other's eyes the whole time. Like if oh my gosh, I think like the ultimate way, like if I could describe my perfect day, it would be like, let's go like beer tasting, throw some axes, and then do like an escape room, because it's like something we're doing together.
I'm taking notes.
But like, we're like bonding together and like taking the time out of our busy lives to like invest in something that is like just for us. But at the same time, like anytime someone has like introduced me to their friends, that feels kind of like quality time too. So it's, I don't know, it's like this big spaghetti. I just like, want to be in your life and in your space. And that makes me feel really loved and special.
I appreciate quality time and I enjoy it. But like, to me, quality time is very platonic in nature. So like, if I'm spending quality time with someone like a romantic partner, I don't feel like
that's like
emotionally romantic, like, romantically connected with them. So like, if I go, I'm like, hey, let's go like taste beer and throw axes, I can literally do that with like any of my guy friends or any of my girlfriends and come away and like have no like spark from that, or like, no, it's just like, hey, that was cool, we had a fun time, like it was cool being around people and I might feel closer to them, like I've learned something. But when I'm like with you and we're like watching a movie and we're cuddling and like your head is resting on my chest, I'm like, ooh, like I feel like this closeness, like this like
love, yeah, I feel like non-platonic love. I feel like my neck hurts. No, but like I'll put like my, like this is my cuddling, I'll like put my leg on him,
yeah,
and that's like enough for me. But like for him, he wants me like in his arms, and that does feel really nice. It's just I have to like, so it can't be, I don't know, it's very rare for me that I'm like, I just want to snuggle, and he gets really excited about it.
In like past relationships and stuff, like when, you know, I'd be sleeping at night, it would be like kind of wrapped around each other and like maybe like her head like on my chest, you know, kind of holding each other tight. And Hannah hates that. And so
I want my space.
It's taken me a long time in our relationship to understand.
He's neglected.
That, well, if just because like she doesn't want to cuddle at nighttime, it's taken me a long time to get used to that. Cause like I've been single at times where like I'm alone and I'm sleeping in a bed by myself and I'm okay with that. Like I'm comfortable with that. But when I have a partner in bed and they're on the other side of the bed from me, I'm like, uh-oh, are we fighting? What's wrong? Like, is there something that's broken? Like, why aren't we touching?
Oh no, our relationship is broken. No, so that's like what's interesting is that so we had this like really big, crazy roundabout way of realizing that because we have one mismatching libidos and two different love languages, we're like, why are we having such a hard time feeling like the other person loves each other? Like, I know you love me and you know you love me, but for some reason, it's not. Like the wires aren't connecting and that spark isn't happening. And it's not like a spark, but it's like we're not feeling close for some reason.
We never second guess that the other person loves us. No, never. Like, there's enough proof that like the other person is like cares and is there.
But, like the security of like
feeling of feeling loved. Oftentimes, even if you know it up here in headspace, you don't necessarily feel it. Yeah. And so like you're also very demisexual. So like you, in order to connect physically at all, you have to feel like both safe and emotionally connected to the person. And until you have that feeling of security and connection there, then like everything else just feels forced. And it makes you like get tense and like feel like almost traumatized by physical connections.
It's true.
And I'm the opposite way. Like if I have just gotten in a fight with someone, I need to know that we're okay. And the way that I can tell that is if there's a physical connection. So like if someone like gives me a really big hug and like holds me and like, you know, or is just kind of like, hey, you know, it's okay. Or like makeup sex after, you know,
makeup
after a
sex
fight.
Is a foreign concept to me. I've done like once and it just felt terrible.
Yeah. And so it's like, if let's say that we fight and then we make up and then like we don't have any kind of physical connection for like a week, I'm like, we're broken. Like everything is wrong. Everything is off.
And that's so weird for me to understand. Cause like sex isn't in my mind, and this is not me invalidating like how you feel about like being loved, but in my mind, like sex is like unnecessary. Like it does not equate to love. It feels good and it's cool to connect. Like it feels good. It feels nice and cute and intimate and sometimes just real good all raunchy, but like in order to feel loved, like that's not a requirement at all for me.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like sex is a like for some people, you know, if their sex drives and libidos are like not very high, it can, you know, sex isn't necessarily like this like need or urge as in the same way that it is for other people. But I think also like there's an emotional side to it too, where like you start to feel physically neglected or physically like something is off.
Yeah.
And that's not a way that you feel, but that's a way that I do feel. And so like in my relationship, like having like, even if you're like not in the mood to have sex, like I need some type of physical connection. Even if it's just like coming up and just like rubbing my back or like kind of scratching my chest or just like, just, you know, if I've got like my feet up on the couch, just like sitting there and kind of like rubbing my feet or something, like it's a way of saying like, hey, like I'm here. I see you. I acknowledge you. Yeah. We're good. I love you. And like, there's ways that are non-sexual physical touch that can send that message. Sex is definitely the strongest. It's the way that like sends the signal like loud and clear. So even if all my antennas are
obvious,
even if all my antennas are broken, I'm kind of like, well, we just fought, but we just fucked. So like,
so it's good.
It has to be good. We wouldn't be having sex if like things hadn't been made up, which I know is not the case. Like you can be in a terrible relationship and still have sex.
Yeah, no, I feel like once I'm like heard and respected and seen, then I'm like, wow, this person, I feel like so like crazy, crazy in love with them.
Yeah.
But
the way that we worded it that I think was really spot on was like,
oh, yeah,
she needs to feel secure in order to have sex or to have a physical connection. And I need to have like some sign of physical love and connection or sex
in order to feel secure.
So we're both like, ah, like, you know, something's broken, something's messed up. But in order to for me to like provide the emotional support and security and let her know that we're secure, I'm like, I need something like some type of physical connection. And until I have that, and she can't provide that until she feels secure, and I can't provide the security until I provide. So you can see how
we're just chasing each other. It's like cat and mouse. And like, we love each other very deeply, but it's just like, yeah, we were just like chasing each other in this really exhausting circle. And we could not articulate that until like you randomly said that the other day. And I was like, alarm bells, light bulb, fireworks. Oh my God. Like, you nailed it.
But the tricky thing is that like, you know, and I don't know how much you want to talk about like trauma and stuff.
I've talked about trauma on this many times. That's fine.
Okay.
Like, so it has nothing to do with like the way, like I've been talking to my therapist about this. She thinks there's so many factors. One, I'm on medication that makes my libido low. But aside from that, I was explaining to her the way I view sex and like my prerequisites to get in the mood really line up with demisexuality, which is on the asexual spectrum. And three, what was the third one? Oh, and I've had sexual and I've had sexual trauma. So like it's very complicated.
So if there's something that like is traumatizing, you'll like need to pump the brakes hard and take a step back.
And you're like, what did I do?
And if we're not in that secure place and it's like, hey, let's like, you know, let's go for it.
Yeah.
Then it's like that can be traumatizing and that can make it so that it needs even more time to like heal and get to a place of safety and security.
It's been hard for me to get to a place where I've prioritized like my comfortability over like making someone happy. And
yeah.
Once I learned how to do that, like it is hard because like I know it's hard for the other person to not take it personally.
Mm.
But I think once like we're able to get to a place where we could understand kind of that foundation of like where I'm coming from.
Mm.
And at the same time, what you need. Yeah. That's helped a lot.
I think all in all, you know, it comes down to like, this shit's complicated, man. Like it takes a lot to figure out.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time and effort and energy, but also like willingness to listen. And yeah. Willingness to observe and to really not just hear the person out, but feel the person out and like not physically feel, but like actually like, how are they feeling? Why are they feeling the way that they're feeling? And can you like put a label on it and understand it and talk to the person about it?
And that labels aren't always important. It depends on the person. But I mean, having language to understand what you're going through and what your needs are.
Therapy helps.
Yeah. So basically, moral of the story, after every episode, I'm always just like, that was a whole like complicated way of just saying therapy is the answer. No, but if you're not in a place where you can get therapy, just like talking about it, like it's uncomfortable, but like try
openly, honestly, non-judgmental. Even if you want to judge, reserve it and hold it till the end and just listen and try to put yourself in the other person's shoes and really genuinely understand,
because
like most people are good people who are just trying to figure stuff out, and they may have been through a lot. There may be a reason why they're feeling and experiencing what they are.
It doesn't excuse poor behavior.
It doesn't excuse
emotions
abuse.
Emotions are valid.
It doesn't excuse abuse, but even with abusive people, it helps a lot to be able to understand. Doesn't justify, but it can help to, you know, for you to understand why they're saying and acting and doing the things that they're doing. Even if it's, hey, this person has a serious mental illness, or they were abused and traumatized as a kid, you know.
Porque no los dos.
Yeah.
Sorry. we're out of time.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
It was a lot.
I love you.
I love you.
So we're going to wrap it up basically. I think what it really comes down to is taking time to figure out what you want, figure out if you want to be with another person, mm-hmm. what they want. Do your best to hear them out. Try to find the moments where, try to recognize when someone's trying to love you. It may not be in the way that you're used to or the way that you want, but there's usually effort. And also don't settle. God.
And I'd say one more thing is like, don't just like with love languages, don't just like my therapist called me out on this where, because I have a need for physical connection to feel secure and safe, I also want Hannah to feel safe and secure in the relationship. So I'll come into the room and be like, you know, hey, I love you, or just like give her a kiss on the back of the head. And what I started realizing was like, that was not me doing it for Hannah. That was me doing it for me. That was like a place of like from my own insecurities, needing that physical affirmation
to make sure we're
okay.
And
it's like, I'm not a jealous or clingy person. But when I started realizing that, like, I had been justifying, like, these little things that were kind of a security blanket for me, and then saying, but I'm showing love. It's like, no, I could say, how can you not tell that I love you? I'm doing this stuff. It's like, I'm doing that.
We're making sure
to satisfy that my own insecurities are taken care of, rather than going out of my way to like be like, hey, what does she need? What is her love language? Am I spending quality time? Am I, you know, doing things that, you know, providing, you know, doing acts of service or words of affirmation that speak to her more than just like, hey, I got you this gift, and, you know, hey, I touched you, you know.
It's quality time, but nice try.
Well, that's why I led with quality.
Oh, you did? Oh, I missed it. Okay, you listen. It's fine. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't give him enough credit. But you're... Well, I hope this didn't confuse the shit out of you further.
Relationships are complicated.
They're super complicated, and it just takes a lot of talking and figuring it out, and if necessary. I mean, I recommend therapy for everyone, but if you can, it helps. If Ethan was here, he would say, the perspective is coming up, and thanks to the patrons, and thanks to the mods.
Yeah, and if you like this style show, you like long-form contents, you can become a patron of your friendly neighborhood atheist. I think links are below. You can also join them on Twitter. Hannah's on Twitter, Hannah Von Fancy, because you fancy.
Yeah, not really, but it sounds cool. And this is Holy Kool-Aid. You know that. All right, Ethan, stop the show. Love you!